All across this place, you can take your seats. Do not be distracted, please. This is a holy moment between you and God. In the next few moments, I want to share a word with you that I believe the Lord has given me, that I believe is going to stir your faith, that I believe is going to transform the way you perceive yourself. It's going to transform the way you perceive yourself. For the Bible declares this in Romans chapter 12. For us not to be conformed to the patterns of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And you've heard us speak extensively about this text. And wherever you are today, as we open up the Word, understand we've just prayed for a divine encounter with the Word of God. You know what that means? There will be unique, unusual, uncommon manifestations of the power of God's Word in your life. If you believe that, shout amen. Amen. I said there'll be unique, uncommon manifestations of the power of God, of His Word in your life. If you believe that, shout amen. Amen. In the comment section, put amen in the comment section now. I've titled this message, Jesus I Know, but who are you? Look at someone next to you and say, who are you? Look at the other person and say, Jesus, I know. In the comment section right now, who are you? Who are you? Acts chapter 19, I want to go there quickly. And I want to read this text to you in the next few moments that I have. Because understand, in order to not only pose a threat to the kingdom of darkness, you need to truly know Jesus. See, the Bible says this in Daniel 11:32, that it's the people who know their God who shall be strong and perform mighty exploits. Are there any people that know their God in this place? I'm not convinced. Are there any people that know their God? That know their God? He's alive and well. Hallelujah. Do you truly know God? You see, you may be wondering, what does this mean? Jesus, I know, but who are you? Let me read this for you quickly. Acts chapter 19, you can all go there. And I want to read this text to you because it's so powerful. And this is the place that every one of us as believers are called to. We're not called just to pose a threat. We are called to empower. We are empowered to overcome every single wicked thing that the enemy uses to try and stop us. We're not fighting for victory. I said we are not fighting for victory. We fight the good fight of faith from victory. Jesus, I know, but who are you? Acts chapter 19, and I'll pick up here in verse 1. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior provinces. Finally, he came to Ephesus, where he found several believers. Verse 2, he asked us, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed, he asked? No, they replied, we don't know what you mean. We haven't heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Are there any spirit-filled believers in this place? That was your cue to shout amen. Hallelujah. And I'm talking about Holy Ghost, fire-filled believers. Amen. Here we go. It says this in verse 3. Then what baptism did you experience? He asked. And then they replied, the baptism of John. Paul said John's baptism was to demonstrate a desire to turn from sin and to turn to God. John himself told the people to believe in Jesus, the one John said would come later. Verse 5, as soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spake in other tongues and prophesied. Everybody shout prophesy. There were about 12 in total. Verse 8, Paul ministers in Ephesus. I want you to see something here so powerfully, because today this is your marching orders to go and do the work of God. Look at someone next to you and say, I'm going. I'm going. I'm going. See, you don't go alone. All of heaven backs you. But it comes down to you knowing Jesus. You cannot go without knowing. You will not be effective. You will not be impactful. You'll not be as influential as you're meant to be without knowing Jesus. See, Paul says this, to know Him. It is that I may know Him, to know who He truly is, to know Him in His death and His very resurrection, to truly know Jesus. Then Paul went to the synagogue and preached boldly for the next 3 months. arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. See, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20, the Bible says, for the kingdom of God is not just talk. Maybe today you've just heard about Jesus being about talk. Jesus is not all talk. I said Jesus is not all talk. He died a very real death, but at the same time, he rose in power and in authority. And he's coming back. I said he's coming back. But some rejected the message and publicly spoke against the way. So Paul left the synagogue and took believers with him. Then he preached daily at the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years. My goodness, Paul was busy with the work of the Lord. What are you doing right now? Where do you find, Wenzandoni, what are you doing? Where do you find yourself today? Are you so busy doing everything else that you've missed the work of God that the Lord has prepared and planned for you? The Bible says this in Jeremiah 29:11, and we know this text so well. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Plans to give you a hope and a glorious future. Yes, you watching right now. A glorious hope. A glorious future. That far supersedes what you may see right now and what you may feel right now. You see, you're not ordinary. Say that after me. I'm not ordinary. I am anointed. Verse 10, the Bible says in Acts chapter 19, verse 10. And this continued for 2 years, so that all that dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus. My God. All who dwelt in Asia. Just 2 years. It took one man 2 years. 2 years to preach all of Asia. That's power. Someone say power. I don't want speech. I don't want to just talk about the things of God. I want to see power. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of you. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says that you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Power. Power. Put it in the comment section right now. Power. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Oh my God. So that from his body, catch this, I want to show you this. God gave Paul the power to do unusual miracles. So that even when handkerchiefs or cloths that touched his skin were placed on sick people, they were healed of their diseases and any evil spirits that were in them came out. Just a handkerchief, just a cloth. His sweaty cloth, maybe he was sweating. They touched Paul and he laid it on the sick and people got healed. See, that's the same power that you and I carry today. That power was not exclusive to Paul. That power was not only for Paul back in the back in the Bible day. Simply put, that power is available today. I said that power is available today. But the question I have for you is this: are you available? See, Jesus, I know, but who are you? I want to jump down to verse 14 quickly because I need to show you something here. Actually, verse 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took it upon themselves to call over and exorcise spirits. In other words, try and cast out devils. They took it upon them to call over that which had an evil spirit, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by the name Jesus, whom Paul preacheth. You see, you cannot use a name that you do not know. If you do not know Jesus, you have no right to use his name. The Bible says that he has the name that's above every other name, that at his name every knee should bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. So in other words, if the sickness has a name, it has a knee and it must bow to the name of Jesus. Depression has a name and it has a knee and it must bow to the name of Jesus. Poverty has a name and it must bow to the name of Jesus. Anybody excited about the name of Jesus? Verse 14, and there were 7 sons of Sceva, a Jew and a chief of the priest, which did so. And the evil spirit, catch this, now they're trying. You know, they're like, hey, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preacheth. I'm just trying to figure out how they did this thing. In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preacheth. You know when you try something that you're unsure of? So the guys are like, man, in the name of Jesus, you know, what's that guy's name?
Paul.
In the name of Jesus, catch this. In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. Hey, I want you to see something here today. If a devil ever asks you and says to you, Jesus, I know, you're in trouble. Everybody say, look at someone and say, you're in trouble. If a devil responds to you and says, hey, Jesus, I know, Jade, I know, not Lumisa, I knew. Verse 15, let's get into it quickly. I've got a few minutes left. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know. And Paul, I know. But who are you? Look at someone next to you and say, who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leapt on them. Another translation says this, but when they tried it on the demon-possessed man, the evil spirit replied, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? And the evil spirit leapt on them and attacked them with such violence that they fled from the house naked and badly injured. Using the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. You see, today you don't need to use the name of Jesus whom Paul preached. You don't have to use the name of Jesus who Jade preaches. You can use the name of Jesus and say, Lord, I know you. Lord, this depression, it has no place in my life. This anxiety, it has no place in my life. In the name of Jesus. Everybody shout, in the name of Jesus. It leaves today. You have the name that's above every other name. That at that name, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You have a great name. You know, you may not come from much. You may come from a name that maybe is when they hear your name in your family or they hear your lineage where you come from and they could say, that's just disrepute. I have a greater name. His name is Jesus. I may not come from much, but I have a greater name and his name is Jesus. For everything that you're facing right now, it has a name. But I said, I need you to catch this. It may have a name, but it has to bow to the name of Jesus. Until you get a revelation of that, you will always live in defeat. You see, the way that you, now you could say, Jade, I'm listening to what you have to say, but how does this apply to me? I'm glad you asked. Three things I want you to recognize about your union with Christ today. Write these down. Because this is what gives you the right to access that name, to speak boldly, to proclaim boldly. Three things I want you to recognize about your union with Christ today. First of all, is this. You are anointed. And make it personal. I am anointed. See, this is not a foreign concept for believers. This is not foreign. This is not something that's only exclusive for the church or exclusive for pastors and prophets and teachers and evangelists. The Bible says this in Mark 16. That these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You have been anointed. You are empowered for power. And I've alluded to this when I was prophesying over Mango. The Bible says in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. You see, you're not going out on your own. You don't have to go out in your own strength. You have an empowerment from on high. You have the anointing from on high. And the name of Jesus coupled with that always give you victory over the devil and defeat for the devil. The second thing is this that you must recognize today. You are appointed. Everybody say, I'm appointed. John 15:16 says this, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear much fruit. And that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. See, Jeremiah 1:5 says this so beautifully as well. It says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Do you know Jesus? Jesus, I know. See, Jesus knows you. So much so that he died for you. He paid the ultimate price so that you can know him. So that you can intimately be acquainted with him. So that from that place of intimacy, you can have influence. From a place of intimacy, you can be impactful. It comes down to knowing. Before I formed you, I knew you. And I set you apart as a prophet to the nations. The third thing that I want you to recognize today about your union with God is this. Is that you're here to announce the good news of Jesus. You see, these seven sons of Sceva tried to do things in their own strength. Tried to do things from their own ability. Tried to use a name that they knew nothing about. They tried to access a dimension that they had absolutely no revelation about. But you and I have the Word of God. The Word of God coupled by the Holy Ghost living on the inside of you, that raised Jesus from the dead, that now lives on the inside of you, that energizes and reveals the Word of God to you. You can impactfully and effectively minister and announce the good news of Jesus. You see, John chapter 9, verses 4 to 5. And I know I've got a few more seconds on television with you all around the world. John chapter 9, verses 4 to 5 says this, I must work the works of Him who sent me. Do you know who sent you? Jesus, I know, but do you know who sent you? See, when you know who sent you, you know who's with you. I don't know why as believers we get to a place where we wonder, you know, if I go into this board meeting, if I go into the school, if I go into this varsity, am I good enough? Am I ever going to say the right thing? When I know who has sent me, I know who's going with me. And when all of heaven before me, oh my God, when all of heaven before me, it doesn't matter who's against me. It doesn't matter who's against me. I can drop this mic right now. It doesn't matter who's against me. Because I know who's with me. Because I know Jesus. See those, catch this, think about it. James chapter 4 verse 7 says this, submit yourself to God. In other words, how do you submit yourself? You submit yourself to this word. You stand upon the word, which is a solid foundation. You submit under its authority and you stand upon the truth of the word of God. It's double-edged. So you submit under it and you stand upon the firm foundation of its word. It's double-edged. What I need you to see today is this. That as they did not remain submitted, they didn't know who they were. They just came up, these seven sons of Sceva, of this priest. They thought they could use their priest flex. They thought they could just come in there and say, you know, my father's a priest. It's not about who you know in the natural. It's about who you know in the supernatural.